Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet. And I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh.
Yep.
With the world being what it is, just like everybody's so stressed out and just angsty and just like cranky and ready to fight everybody, at least I am. Mm-hmm. I think a good way to release some of this stress is with spoken word. What do you think?
I usually don't think that spoken word is the solution to anything.
Hater.
But if you teach me how to Dougie, if you teach me how to do this, I'm on board. Let's do it.
Okay. I mean, I don't know that you can teach someone raw natural talent, but I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
So, Sister Trace, what's on your heart? What do you need to express?
Well, I think that there's a young brother who could help me express what I'm feeling inside. This is a poem that a young prophet named Kendrick Lamar wrote.
Yes.
It's called Control. You're welcome in advance. I'm usually homeboys with the same niggas I'm rhyming with, but this is hip hop, and them niggas should know what time it is. I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you, nigga. Trying to make sure your core fans have never heard of you. They don't want to hear not one more noun nor verb from you niggas. What is competition? I am trying to raise the bar high. Freedom. Thank you. Thank you.
Wait, I want to try.
Okay, do it. What's on your spirit?
Okay. This is by the Shakespeare of our time, really, Mariah Carey.
Yes, indeed.
It was sent to a certain Slim Shady. I don't know if he's standing up, but he won't be after this piece. You're delusional. You're delusional. Boy, you're losing your mind. Why are you wasting your time? Got you all fired out with your Napoleon complex, seeing right through you like I was bathing in Windex. Freedom.
The illusion of the Windex just lifted my spirit and just elevated me to where it needs to be.
It's an allegory.
Amazing.
You know what this makes me feel like we need to talk about today?
What?
Diss tracks. Feuds. Fighting.
Squabbles.
Sometimes you just need to get
it
out,
and
you know?
Sometimes motherfuckers be trying you, and you gotta put them in their place.
I'm not the one.
Mm-mm. Not on this day. Ashe.
Beyoncé? You look like Luther Vandross.
Oh, but make it fashion.
But you ain't heard that from me.
Fierce. called.
Okay, stop.
You see, when you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite.
I ain't gonna sleep because of y'all.
It's Britney, bitch.
Y'all not gonna get
we
no sleep because of me.
Tiffany. But I ain't gonna gossip. I don't want
Who said that?
Welcome to Back Issue,
a weekly podcast that revisits formative moments in pop culture that we still think about.
This week, you wore a diamond chicken wing chain.
Are you dumb? You had a leopard beehive on your head.
Are you dumb?
Yes, I am dumb. And also, we're talking about fugues.
Back to this bitch that had a lot to say about me the other day in the press. Miley, what's good?
He's a bad father. Oh. He looks like his breath stinks all the time. We're sworn enemies forever.
Billboard Hot 100 number one song, which you just performed, which is difficult to get. Not everybody has that.
Okay, bye, Portia.
Okay, bye, Ashy.
Have a nice day.
Bye, Ashy.
What was the reason? Each week, we'll go back into the past and revisit unforgettable moments we all think we remember.
And learn what they can teach us about where we are now.
I'm Tracy Clayton.
And I'm Josh Gwynn.
And we gonna fight. Punch, 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 punch.
Is that how you fight?
I guess so. I've never been in a fight.
Oh, no.
I know. It sounds like I'm in trouble, though. Our time has seen some of history's most iconic feuds. Remy versus Nicki, as we referenced in the opening.
Woo!
Jay-Z versus Nas.
Woo!
50 Cent versus everybody, pretty much.
Did you see him come after Lil Nas X?
He was like, I woke up to grown men arguing about my Halloween costume. And I was like, what a read, just in that.
Specific.
But before we get too deep into the beef, bars, I thought we should check in with rapper, producer, comedian, and lyrical Mel Dalyell, which is French for murderer. The one and only Jean Grey, and ask her a question that many, many rappers throughout history have asked, including but not limited to my ex-husband, Mos Def.
You know what?
What? It's beef.
Beef is not what Jay said to Nas. Beef is when the working folks can't find y'all.
A beef, a feud. Dictionary.com defines it as a bitter, continuous hostility. It's when two parties are against each other, usually because of some sort of perceived or actual wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm. Such as the Montagues and the Capulets.
Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene.
Mariah and J-Lo.
What do you think about people still referencing I Don't Know Her all these years later?
I still don't know her.
Death Row versus Bad Boy.
I would like to say that I'm very proud of Dr. Dre, of Death Row, and Suge Knight for their accomplishments. And all this East and West that needs to stop.
Kenya and Nene.
Hi, Nene.
Hey, bitch.
You look fabulous.
You don't. Okay.
Also, Drake and Pusha T.
I'm not hiding my child from the world.
You are hiding a child. Let that boy come home. Deadbeat motherfucker playing Border Patrol. Ooh.
We have to talk about the ideal conditions for a feud to exist, I think.
Like when the cold front comes and meets a warm front, and then you have the Arctic wind.
The perfect storm.
There you go. There you go. What are the conditions that we need?
First, feuds usually occur between people who occupy the same sort of space. Otherwise, there's not really anything for them to feud over.
So what happens if me, a podcaster, I see a construction worker, and I'm like, you know what? I don't like this construction worker's bangs. That is not a bayang.
Not the bayang.
The bayang is not bayang. If we go back and forth, is that a beef, even though we're not in similar spaces and have nothing to lose?
I think it is a beef if you continue to go back and forth, but usually the biggest beefs occur when it's two people who occupy a similar space. And then second, there has to be some sort of element of strife or aspiration, which is to say that feuds usually are the vehicle for people to get on. A lot of times, what you'll see is someone going at the person who is ruling the space right now. And the way that they can make a name for themselves is by taking out the person at the top.
Oh, it's like the mob. You know, you want to be the next Godfather. You got to bump off whoever's on the top.
I think 50 Cent and Ja Rule. This is a long time ago, but at that time, Murder, Inc. was it.
Murder.
And 50 Cent was coming on, you know, with his bulletproof vests and stuff.
Remember those tank tops he used to sell?
I loved them.
Did you?
I did.
I'm glad they went away.
But especially in hip hop, because hip hop is based on bravado and you have to have this attitude of like, I'm the best doing it. I'm the best to ever live to do it.
Right. And within hip hop, that's expected. It's one of the foundations of the entire genre is bravado, is battle rapping, you know? And I really don't think that anyone embodied this concept in its truest and purest form like Kendrick did in his verse on Control with Big Sean.
Yo.
Usually homeboys with the same niggas I'm rhyming with, but this is hip hop and them niggas should know what time it is. And that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Meek Mills, A$AP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean, J Electron, Tyler McMillan. I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you niggas.
Kendrick just stepped up and he was like, I love y'all, but fuck y'all.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be the new Supreme. And that's what it is. Yes.
The people that he named, it was kind of like a badge of honor. Like, yeah, at least I'm in the conversation. And the people who got left out, everyone was like, wait, hold up.
What about me? Lil Zane is somewhere like, yo, man, why Kendrick ain't coming after me? What's the problem?
Oh, my God. Lil Zane. Wow.
It really was like a compliment. Y'all are the ones who taught me. Y'all are why I'm so good. And I am why y'all got to get out the way now.
But it also like cemented who Kendrick is, because it's like the fact that I am willing to go up against all of these people who people consider like my contemporaries, but only the talented ones, only the ones that I deem worthy of an opponent.
Right.
But we can't have a discussion about feuds without talking about one of the most defining feuds of our generation.
I bet I know which one it is.
Which one?
Brandy and Monica.
The boy is mine, the boy is mine, the boy is mine, the boy is mine, the boy is mine.
Yes, this beef. Possibly the beef of all beefs, I'm going to say.
It's up there. Definitely top five. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, whether you were Team Monica or Team Brandy was a question that helped you understand who your friends were. Helped you understand who your enemies were.
Yeah, it told you a lot about somebody.
The specific origins of this beef are largely unclear. But I want to like take you back to the 90s.
Yay! Picture it. Sicily, 1927.
Picture it. R&B, the 90s. So the landscape, you have Brandy, you have Monica, you have Aaliyah. They were like the holy R&B trinity. Like you had Aaliyah, who was mysterious. Her hair was over her eyes.
That swoop.
She always had on sunglasses. Her dancing style was like, yeah, I learned this choreography yesterday, but don't I look cool doing it? Because I'm not even trying. You had Brandy. She was the one most likely to have had a cotillion. She gave you the perfect media trained answers. She was the one that your parents were probably like, look at that Brandy. Isn't she such a good example for kids?
Why can't you be more like Brandy? Because I can't sing, mama damn.
Exactly. And then you had Monica, who was like the girl next door. Her first album was Miss Thang, and it was because of her attitude.
Yes.
I mean, she was like 12 when she recorded it. It's insane.
Sounded like she was a full 26, 27. Like, her voice has always been just like, just OD in a good way.
Yeah.
And also, like, Monica was a little more edgy.
Her material was, like, a little bit more grown up. Brandy's, because her mom was her manager, you could tell that her team was very careful about what was age appropriate.
Right.
Like on her first album, she had a song about how her brother was her best friend.
It was such a cute song.
It's
I
a
really
great
liked
song.
That album. It was so good.
But
so good.
Brandy was in the studio and she had this song with Rodney Jerkins, Dark Child 99. And they had worked on this song, which was kind of a play on the Michael Jackson song, The Girl Is Mine.
The doggone girl is mine. You're welcome.
Thank you. But she had the song called The Boy Is Mine. And they were smart enough to think about the fact that everyone was always pitting Monica and Brandy against each other, so the content of the song played perfectly with the public perception's narrative of how they related to each other.
Because it's like, okay, the boy is mine and not yours because I'm the better person. I'm the better woman.
Exactly. In the June 1998 edition of Billboard, Monica was quoted as saying, "From the time she was first released, and I was first released, instantly people compared us and I never understood it. They never did it with me and Aaliyah, or Brandy and Aaliyah. It was always Brandy and Monica." Mm. So they channeled that for a song, and it came to a head when Monica popped Brandy in the face, allegedly, at the 1998 VMA rehearsals. Dallas Austin, who is a producer extraordinaire from the 90s, he worked on TLC, he worked with all of your R&B faves, he tells the story of what happened behind the scenes that day.
It was a heavyweight beef. They got in a fight.
Heavyweight beef, okay.
It worked out because the song, we were supposed to be at war with each other, so nobody could really tell that she had punched in the face before the performance.
I never knew that. Ugh.
Didn't it confirm how you felt, though? Like, everybody knew that there was this thing that existed in the air, and you couldn't tell whether it was from the media or from them or where it was coming from, but you could just tell that there was something off.
And it was so wild because, like, there was nobody who didn't like Monica, right? Like, she was friends with everybody. And I wonder if it's because people know that, like, you know, Monica, like, she's a great person, you know, but she's also with the shit.
Gunica?
You know, she is from Atlanta to her marrow, so she'll get with you if you need to.
Yes.
I wouldn't bug up to Monica ever.
It seemed to have fizzled at some point between the 90s and the early 2000s, but then it was reignited in 2016 when Monica went on Oprah's Where Are They Now and mentioned being mentored by Whitney Houston.
From 18 years old until the day she left, she's really been my mentor in music and in real life.
Now, you know, Brandy is very territorial about the memory of the late great Whitney Houston, so that didn't go well.
You know how we always joke about Bonita Betrayal?
Yeah.
Whitney Houston was Brandy's Miss Jenkins.
Shut up.
Don't nobody better say that bad about Whitney Houston memory. That's when Brandy go off.
Believe me, I am on that team too. Don't disrespect the legend who is Whitney Houston.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, the drama persisted throughout the years.
Now we are in the leg of this beef. Versus has happened, and I'm still uncomfortable when I think about it because I knew that it was supposed to be a kiss and make up situation. Mm-hmm.
All of the drama that had been building over these years, their paths that had kept crossing, this was going to be the moment where they were going to squash it all.
It was gonna be. It was supposed to be. It was intended to be. But was it? I thought it was extremely awkward. But I mean, like, is this as close to a resolution are we going to get? Also, do we even want a resolution? You know what I'm saying?
Right. It goes back to, like, where the feud originated to begin with. The narrative that had been fed to you as a consumer of media was that these two girls did not get along. They were trying to vie for the same spot, and one of them had to go, which is problematic to begin with. But it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy because the way that you see this versus and this interaction with them today cannot not be informed by being told over and over and over again that these two people don't get along.
Yeah.
So it's like, are we satisfied with this moment? Like, I remember thinking that it was really awkward too.
It was so uncomfortable.
And theoretically, I think we all collectively feel that it's probably better when people are happy and joyful.
Probably.
Or high, you know. But for some reason, we as a culture were so obsessed with seeing people beef and feuding.
Yes.
Whether it's in situations in which it's kind of expected, like reality television or rap, or otherwise.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm down in the trenches with everybody else, you know, like I'm not trying to be holier than anybody because love some drama.
Same.
I love it. So much, in fact, that when I think about beef and my enjoyment of it, I often find myself at a crossroads. And not only because I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all.
What a scary music video.
Wasn't it though? That does make me wonder how much of this problem is caused, or at least supported by us, the fans who like buy into it, right? Because like how many years later and we're over here just like giggly and geeking over Brandy and Monica like fighting, physically fighting, you know?
We're 9 years old again.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is us.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's not just us. It's also the way that the story of these two people have been told to us over and over again, like plays a really big part in the way that we perceive how things are happening.
And the annoying thing is that no matter how much time we spend talking about this stuff, analyzing body language, whatever we need to do, we are never, ever, ever, ever gonna know the truth.
Ever.
Nobody's ever gonna know besides Brandy, Monica, and God.
Okay.
That's it. And the thing is, does that even matter that we'll never know? Like, it's kind of been this way forever, right? Like, the way that beef is used to promote goods and artists and their music.
We know there's a part of our nature that loves a beef because it's a part of the way that people sell things.
Yeah.
It kind of captures our collective attention, and that attention can, depending on the nature of the beef, depending on who's in charge and who we find responsible, can translate into sales and streams.
Absolutely. Not only does it make a shit ton of money for the white people who are at the top, just saying. It also has benefits for everybody else involved, because the more you beef with somebody, the more headlines you get.
Yeah.
The more your profile is raised. Right. And the more that that happens, the more albums you sell. And then you've got ticket sales. And then, you know, because we are supposed to support the artists that we like, you know, like, and that's the way that we like take sides in a beef.
Yeah.
By buying the artist's paraphernalia and music. And then these days, today, being crazy on Twitter sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some people do it.
Yeah, your dollar's supposed to be your voice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so since we're talking iconic beefs, I have to ask, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you when you heard Sheether, Remy Ma, versus Nicki Minaj? Fight!
Oh my gosh. Can't tell you where I was, but I can tell you how I felt.
Tell me how you felt, girl.
I felt like she was coming at me. And I needed to go find her and apologize. I was like, listen. Exactly. I've never in my life had a pink gold chicken wing chain.
Are you
Remy,
dumb?
Why are you coming at me like this? I might be. I don't know, but it wasn't even me. She just, my God.
No
my
holds
God.
Barred, held nothing
None.
Back.
Mm. Do you remember where you were when you heard it?
I do, because I remember I was working a job that was not my favorite.
Bet you won't call him out and write a rap song about him. First off, fuck your job.
I remember being in this room, and I like used to play DJ, and so like I used to like play music, and I remember looking at Twitter and being like, wait, what's going on? And so I played it, and that first dun of the ether beat, everybody turned their head and was like, what is going on?
Oh,
what
shit.
Is happening?
Because
it just sounds confrontational. It sounds like I'ma beat a bitch's ass.
My favorite thing is when people put that beat underneath like Obama videos when he's just like going off on somebody, or Elizabeth Warren.
Talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
It's so perfect.
Yeah.
It's just so menacing. Like, ooh, somebody about to get like...
They ass beat. Yeah.
And the thing that I like about this particular beef is because, you know, you got the messiness, you got the drama, you got like hitting below the belt, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you also get to see what a fucking beast Remy Ma is. This is what she does.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of opportunities, I don't think, where like we just sit and are just in awe of a woman's lyrical ability in this particular genre.
Yeah.
So I was just like, man, Remy is just like dope. Then I was just like, man, this is uncomfortable and kind of body shamey. But also, you know, it was just a really confusing time for my feelings.
There's a lot of layers. It's rap. It's a competitive sport.
This is what happens.
But also there's the idea of there's only been one woman in the space for so long, and there should be multiple people. We should have access to a bunch of people. It shouldn't even be a situation where we're like calling people like female MCs. They should just be MCs, and they should be able to come at each other the same way that dudes come at each other. And it's not the, unless your job rule, the ending of your career.
See, I just heard the Sheetha beat in my head when you said that. Fuck Ja Rule.
Come with your fire fest.
You rented out an island and didn't have no food for the people. Are you dumb?
How dreadful. A fashion show with no fashion.
Another thing that makes me so mad about this is the respectability that is instantly attached whenever we come close to like musical warfare between women, especially black women, because it's hard enough out here. We as black women need to hold each other up and work together instead of tear each other down, which, listen, I know that there are lots of racial issues in the world right now, and I understand that a lot of them are focused at black women. You know, like, I get it. But also, we're fucking human. We get mad. We can have fights. Also, why can't we follow the same fucking rules of hip-hop and battle rapping that everybody else did? Nobody came at Jay-Z and was like, well, since black-on-black crime is just, like, so bad, you should really not. It's just like, oh, Jay-Z holding the crown, whatever, whatever, the throne. And it just makes me so mad.
On one hand, we don't give women and queer people, like, the ability to sit in the full expression of themselves.
That was beautiful.
It's like the same conversation that people are having about WAP. Whenever somebody comes out with something that's sexually explicit, I would run out of fingers and toes if I needed to name every super sexually explicit rap.
Slob on my knob, like corn on the cob.
Just put it in your mouth. Like, for people in this particular space, there was this big pressure for it to be, oh, like, rise above it. Like, what about conscious rap? Like, what about bringing up our people? And it's like, but can I be a person?
Right. It's like that gif of Nicki.
Oh, the MTV documentary.
I'm a human being. And you know what? I do think this is an extension of the way that black women in particular are like kept from their anger.
Yeah.
Because what's more threatening than an angry black woman?
Right.
To the extent that it's become like a trope that we're supposed to avoid.
Right.
Of course, men don't want to hear women out-rapping them first and foremost. And they don't want to hear them talk about how powerful they are because of their vaginas and shit like that. And they also don't want to see a black woman who can fiercely defend herself without chastising her for that, because she might be coming for your ass one day.
Exactly.
I think it's such a good example of what happens when you can see pictures of other things that you can be.
Right.
And now we have Megan Thee Stallion. Now
good
we have
news.
A Saweetie. You know?
Saweetie. Even though she eats her ramen absolutely wrong. Sorry.
You know what? I will not eat it, but I would like to defend people all around the world with unconventional eating preferences.
Okay. You can't be what you can't eat.
Ashe. Somebody that has some very strong feelings about this is the one and only Jean Grey, which is why I was like, we should talk to Jean Grey. That's why I have the best ideas ever. So, after the break, we'll dive deeper into the beefer.
Hey!
With rapper, producer, comedian, actress, and most importantly, lyrical meltdown, Jean Grey. Stay tuned.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment, and if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to like skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We sat down to talk to lyrical genius, murderer of MCs,
damn,
Jean Grey. We talked about beef. We talked about competition, battle rap, and we talked about what it means to have an avenue to put all your aggression and anger, which feels relevant.
Because we angry. Let's start at the very beginning, shall we? Lil Baby Gene finds and falls in love with hip hop.
I don't know if that happened.
Oh, do you have beef with hip hop?
I think probably more so than any other music I'm into. One, because hip hop doesn't allow itself normal things, like for people to get older. Sexism, clearly, the idea that female hip hop is some sort of genre of music is insane.
Yeah.
But other than that, I fell in love with it because I'm an extremely competitive person. I'm not good at sports. I always wanted to be good at sports.
Same.
But I can play fucking brain games and I'm really good with words. And I don't like to win. I like to burn everything to the fucking ground.
I feel so seen. I get so yelled at every day. Like, Tracy, it's not a competition, but I'm just like, I guess it's because you're not
but
trying
it is
hard
though,
enough.
But it is. It's always a competition. That's nice. Like, you don't have to be in the competition for me to deem it a competition.
Bam!
And even when it wasn't a competition amongst me and anyone else, it was me challenging myself. What new flow can I use? What new words can I use? Can I make myself laugh? Can I be like, oh shit, that was a quadruple entendre. And you're welcome. The frustrating part of all of that became me falling very much out of love with it as much as I loved it. Because I was like, oh, you guys don't hear me doing any of these things because I'm just a woman.
When you first like came out and hit the scene, how were you finding that people responded to you?
There were very small amount of instances where there was another woman present.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, look, and that's the girl. I'm like, no, no, no. I'm the murderer.
Yes.
You've got this fucked up.
Right.
And so it was very interesting for someone to be like, I need a woman on this song or a female voice. I'm like, then you should just go get a random woman because it's not going to go the way you think it's going
to
go.
Do you think that the ability to call someone out helps that or hurts that push for diversity?
I think it's fair. It's always fair to be everyone be on the same playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to be that person that's just like crazy aggressive and braggadocio and trying to like pick fights everywhere, then that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime anyone's not allowed to be fully them, it's a problem for me. And it should be a problem for everyone because then we don't get to understand the full potential of some little girl who's like, people are calling me intimidating or aggressive or emasculating. And all I'm trying to do is be bold. So that's part of diversity too, allowing us to be fucking individuals and have nuances and subtleties. And we just have not gotten there yet.
Yeah.
So when you were coming up, were there any beefs that were formative to you where you're like, yo, I remember exactly where I was when this verse came out?
Yes. So the first one was Jesus. And I thought people really came. No.
I was like, wait, is there an MC named Jesus?
The Old Testament.
It was a crazy beef, y'all.
Yeah.
The one that I really, really remember, Cannabis came after LL.
Mm-hmm.
You walk around showing off your body because it sells. Plus to avoid the fact that you ain't got scales. Mad at me because I kick that shit real, niggas fail. Why 99% of your fans wear high heels.
Okay. I was like, oh shit, you just came in and like destroyed him. I was like, but also I loved the energy and like ferocity of this motherfucker coming out of nowhere and be like, I'll punch everybody in the face. And I was like, yes, yes.
So you were basically made for battle rapping.
Sadly.
So what flashes in your mind when you're like, okay, it's go time. You're like, how do I cut to the white meat?
I have the thing in Kill Bill where just everything goes red and the sound happens. And people are like, where is that coming from? I have no scruples. I have no... Oh, you don't talk about anyone's kid. Oh, fuck your kids.
Oh, shit.
There's no rules. And I think like those are always the most dangerous people.
It's just such a difficult craft. Like, not only do you have to, like, think of words that sound good together on the spot, you got to, like, crush your opponent. And I'm just like, I'm mean and I got an attitude, but the other part I don't really have. I'm just like, ooh, I'm going to email you my thoughts later.
But see, like, that would be fucking funny.
What?
I would die laughing if there was a battle rapper who just showed up who was like, hold on, I need time to process some things. But let me write down the list of all the things that you said and I'm going to rattle them off to you. Is this correct? I'm busy processing information and I'm definitely going to have something to say about you and your mom because it sounds like you have a lot of issues from your childhood and I can't pinpoint them right now. Don't look at everybody else and be like, those are what the rules are.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's when you love someone new who comes out and you're like, oh, shit, I didn't even know we could do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All this reminds me of just like adding to the humanity of people who are already unseen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what pissed me off the most about Remy versus Nicki. I knew that like after Remy came out and just slaughtered Nicki's entire like family and bloodline, I knew that the moment would come when somebody was gonna come out and say, you know, as women, you know, this wasn't right. We need to uplift each other. Everything is so hard. And I'm just like, fuck that. We get mad too.
Also, it's rap. That's the nature of it.
Speaking of Nicki and Remy, do you remember the show Celebrity Deathmatch?
Oh, man.
Okay, so we're going to do like a celebrity death match right now. Like, if you could put together your dream beef, who would it be?
It's not going to be rap. This is so stupid. There's a wrestling game, the WWE games. And in them, they have character creations where you can make people. And then you can create their entire entrance.
Ooh. I need this.
You get to pick the music and you can choose from like everyone in wrestling's moves and you can mix them up and you can do your own pyro and you can do your own lights and you can make your own outfit.
Production.
Okay. So my husband and I spend a lot of time making entrance death matches and we never actually get to the fight. It's just about the beginning of the fucking show. We did like a Prince versus Michael and it, like all the entrances are like 2 minutes long and most of Prince's shit is just like crawling on the ground for an extended period of time in assless chaps because it's wrestling. Yes. So those things are available,
are allowed. Yes.
We have Aretha Franklin versus Dionne Warwick because
You're speaking my language. Yes, you absolutely are.
Because it's wrestling and we're like, oh, there's got to be someone doing a move where they take their coat off and they just let it like fall on the floor. And we're like, we got to make Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
And I'm like, if only we could get someone coming out with a bag, that would be so good.
She just drops her purse.
Can you do like entrances for like tag teams, more than one person?
I don't think so. If I wanted to do a tag team, I would do a Cisco one, but I would make Casey and JoJo, and then I would make Casey walk over JoJo.
This is the best version of The Sims ever.
I'm 225% not sorry.
That's so funny.
Okay, what about, do like R&B beefs exist in the real world? R&B beefs?
Come on, R&B?
Yes. Do this. Yes.
Produced by Mona Scott Young.
Oh, no.
You just made everyone. That was such an immediate.
R&B just sounds like a reality show I would have watched a long time ago.
Is that what Versus is, kind of?
That's like The Intervention.
Yeah, it kind of is, right?
And everybody's like, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that, too. We're old now. Be like, you know what? Before either of us die for any reason in the world, I got to say, I liked your stuff. Mm-hmm. You're real good at it.
If you could make a diss track about any animal or inanimate object, what do you hate?
Ooh. Oh, I like the way you think.
Mine would be about people who stop walking in doorways or at the end of escalators.
I have a song about that.
Yes.
I have a series of albums called That's Not How You Do That. They're adult instructional albums. One of the songs is called Escalators.
No way.
And it's about...
Way.
when you're coming down the escalator and someone gets off the fucking escalator
and they just,
and just fucking stands there.
This is a portal, like, sir.
What? You are also a part of society. Just got off of an escalator and now you're just standing there blocking everyone else. What are you doing? Can you move out of the way, please?
Amazing.
I feel so seen.
Not that anyone asked. I want to write a diss track to whales.
Why whales?
Because they're too big, for one. Just huge as shit. They have convinced the world. Yes, I'm 73,000 tons, but you don't have to worry about me. Worry about them fucking whales, y'all. It's not okay.
On the flip side of beefs, you said that you lived in like the rap version of the real world where there was like 10 people, a studio. Mm-hmm. It sounds so harmonious. Based on that experience, do you see a world in which hip hop evolves beyond the beef?
And is that what we want?
And is that good? Yeah.
I was just going to say that would be a little saddening for me. I'm like, if it's wrestling, there should be some wrestling in the wrestling.
Right.
There's an entire culture around in rap that's just battle rap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's not people that you're just familiar with who are like, make one diss song. Like, that is a whole other skill. So it would be terrible for that craft to go away. I love writing. My favorite thing doing rap was like challenging myself that like, if I'm not doing any song in one take, then like, fuck it, I'm not doing it.
Oh no.
And I never wrote anything ahead of time. I wrote everything in the studio right before we did the song. I don't have any extra raps laying around ever.
Wow.
Jay-Z, whomst? I don't know him.
But you see, these are all the kinds of things, exactly what I'm talking about when we're talking about like women in hip hop. These are the conversations you never get to have.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, nobody's asking about your writing process or what you enjoy about battle rap. I think it would be a shame if a whole culture sort of disappeared. But I think the understanding of the culture needs to be more widespread.
Okay, Trace.
Yeah.
Know what time it is?
17:38. Am I right?
No.
Oh, what time is it?
It's that time of the show where we take a page from Tyra Banks' book to see, did we
learn something from this?
We absolutely did learn some things from this, I do believe.
What you learned, Trace?
Okay, I learned that it is okay to enjoy a good slice of drama. You know, it's okay to like some gossip. It's okay to be in the group chat talking about, ooh, did you see this, that, third on Twitter, you know, whatever. As long as we are responsible and informed about what it is that we're taking in and why. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I want you to say more.
Okay, for example, you know, I love the Real Housewives of almost everywhere.
Okay.
There are some factions where I just can't relate to, like, rich white folks. I ain't got it.
But Atlanta.
Yeah, okay. You know, we got at least one thing in common. And I think I like those a lot, especially right now, because it's so stupid.
Right. The stakes are so low.
They're so low. The bar is in hell, and so are we right now. So, I mean, for me, it's productive because my brain, the part of my brain, the primitive part of my brain that's always in survival mode, it needs to have something to chew on that is not like political beef, because that could like kill me and everybody that I love. I'm gonna go for these women in ball gowns who go to wineries to have discussions that they know are gonna make them fight. You know what I mean?
Right. Let's go to the studio and drop some beats.
Exactly.
But it's
exactly
a really nice way for your mind to be able to be like, look, the conflict is over there. It's not in here.
Exactly. Look over there.
Yeah, look over there. And I think that after talking to Jean Grey, what's even more clear to me is that it's really important that we have certain avenues that give us access to our anger, our competitiveness.
Yes, absolutely.
Our ability to murder bitches. All of those are necessary and healthy things to have access to.
Exactly. It's therapeutic.
It's therapeutic. It's cathartic. You need it. You need that forum to release what's built up. And if it can happen in a productive, moving us forward way, even better.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what happened with No Name and J. Cole?
Okay, only vaguely, honestly.
So you had J. Cole who came out with Snow on the Bluff, right? Mm-hmm. Where he was coming as some mystery artist, and we all knew who he was talking about.
But shit, it's something about the queen's tone that's bothering me. Just because you're woke and I'm not, that shit ain't no reason to talk like you better than me.
And then you had No Name come out with the song, Song 33, in which she read him down in like a minute and 30 seconds. Like, it's a very short song. She's very succinct. That's what happens when you read books. And
hello.
She and she was like, why am I on your tongue right now at this moment?
It ain't nothing else going on in the world right now you can focus on.
Wow, look at him go. He really doubts to write about me when the world is in smokes, when it's people and trees, when George was begging for his mother saying he couldn't breathe. You thought to write about me?
I think that that is a perfect example of a beef, but there's like more layers to it. It's not just like, bitch, your face looks funny. It's like,
right.
First of all, they're fighting about like massage noir and like, who's responsible for it, and like she's telling him about himself for being problematic. Mm-hmm. But also there's a layer about what we should be focused on culturally. Mm-hmm. It feels a little bit more thoughtful. It feels more about what's happening inside your head. It's more productive.
We needed to hear exactly what No Name said because there is so much misogynoir.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to speak out on it, which is what she did, you know? And I think that that's more allowable because of the context and because of the power structure and dynamic and difference between men and women.
I agree.
So I really resent like everything. I just,
you know, where's the list, girl?
You know?
Yeah. But people will look at the way in which you punch somebody. Are you punching up? Or are you punching down? Is it funny or is it mean-spirited? And I think that that is something that's shifted in our culture. Like, people are paying more attention to the way in which you're tearing somebody down as opposed to, like, just delighting in it regardless.
It's like, as our society advances, like, when we talk about stuff not aging well, you know? Those are, like, jabs and areas that don't age well, like slut-shaming and body-shaming and things of the sort. But I feel like it's always going to be some shit that you can poke fun at. Has to be.
And it applies outside of the rap cipher as well.
Absolutely.
We should be able to have access to these emotions, especially in situations in which we're trying to correct something that we know is wrong. That is when people try to like strip you of your anger and try to strip you of your ability to say it with a deep voice.
They de-weaponize you, basically.
Exactly. I think that that is part of the reason that you see like this flooding on your timelines of people getting Karens together. I think that there's this feeling of righting some sort of wrong that's happening.
It's a craving for justice and consequences.
I think fair game, you know?
Go talk about that girl's weave if it makes sense.
And if it's lopsided.
And if it sits a little too high off the head.
And speaking of feuds just being fun sometimes, we can't do a feud episode without talking about the queen, Patti LaHale.
Oh my gosh, absolutely not. I remember the absolute phenomenon. Like, it's all that the timeline was talking about.
Shout out to Patti LaHale, for real.
Shout out to Patti LaHale.
Got to Be Real is a YouTube series in which this creative name, Patti LaHale, use archival footage, but they lip sync on top of it with really amazing vocal impressions of the great divas. So we're talking Patti LaBelle, Chaka Khan, Dionne Warwick, Aretha Franklin,
Mariah,
Whitney, Beyonce, like all of them. And she puts them in these situations where they have to interact with each other.
It's so good.
Aretha, just because I have on a watch, don't assume I have time for your bullshit.
Bitch ass, you know we got beef, so let's eat.
The only beef between us is the burger in your mouth.
One of the things that that leaves me with is feuds can be fun, but they can also hold us back. And so what we have to do is just be conscious of the way in which we engage with these feuds.
Yeah.
Power by itself is just power. It depends on how you use it.
You have been just dropping jewels like this whole time. When is the book coming out?
Shut up.
Woo! Back Issue is a production of Pineapple Street Studios.
This show was created and is hosted by Tracy Clayton.
Hey, that's me. and also Josh Gwynn. Our lead producers are Josh Gwynn and Emmanuel Hapsis.
Our managing producer is John Asante.
Our senior editor is Leela Day.
Our associate producers are Alexis Moore and Zandra Ellen.
Our intern is Brianna Garrett. Special thanks to Gabrielle Young.
Our executive producers are Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky.
This show features music by Don Will. You can follow him on all the socials at DJ Don Will. And you can follow me on the socials at Broken McPoverty.
And you can follow me at Regarding Josh. Subscribe to this podcast wherever free podcasts are sold. Tell a friend, whoever you're beefing with. Let them know. Just slip it underneath the wall that was between Brandy and Monica. Be like, hey, go listen to Back Issue and give it a 5-star review because it really does help.
Yes, do that.
I'll see you next week.
Bye. So, Joshua. I wasn't calling you a hoe. It's Spanish for Josh.
There's some hoes.
Hey,
in this house.
Hey, hey.